Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, grateful again on this August 22nd, 2023, to be able to come before you live and share with you in broadcast. I want to encourage you to give me a call here. It is open mic night. Open mic night. What that means is that we yield the floor to you, our listening audience, unlike when we have a topic, a focused topic of discussion. We open the mic to you, the listening audience, to share with us your thoughts and ideas. Rest assured that if we don't get anybody's ideas or comments or questions, we have some things that we will share with you tonight for the next hour. 563-999-3617. That's the number to call. Again, that number is 563-999-3617. And I think we've figured out why it was a caller from a listener from last week on Facebook couldn't hear us. I think we've gotten that taken, and we are going to see what we can do to make sure you can hear us well, those that are following us on live stream here. But give us a call here in the studio, 563-999-3617. Again, it's open mic night. Until you call, I will talk about some recent events here in the United States of America. Naturally, let me begin by wishing prayers and hope for the residents of the 50th state, as of 1959, I believe it was, Hawaii, and one of the islands there, Maui, in the terrible disaster that took place about a week or so ago. It is my understanding that up to 114 lives are confirmed loss in such a terrible tragedy, and over close to 800 or so more, as I understand it, hope I'm not misstating it, that are still missing. And latest reports is that the concern is that many of those will be children. Sad to read about how a little, I think he was 10 or 12 years old, was found cuddling with his dog, obviously trying to protect this dog. But a terrible thing, terrible thing. So we want to pray for our neighbors there in Hawaii and wish the very, very, very best for them. Those are some of the things that are going on around the nation. And I'm convinced that no matter who you are, what your ethnic orientation, background, or social experiences are, We are all one nation under God, indivisible, and we strive to make sure that liberty and justice meets us all. I would believe that even for those who believe that American history will reveal that it had some scars, been some mistakes, some bad turns. But guess what? You and I, as citizens in 2023, on this August 22nd, as a matter of fact, we are in the best position to improve on America. We can make it what we want it to be together. See? Or we can be divided. I would encourage us to work together and make America the strong nation that it can be, inclusive of all of our citizens, all 50 states, all 330-some thousand individual county governments that make it up, and all the cities that are within it. All right? So we want to again send our prayers here from the Talk Street. As your host, I want to make sure we recognize that and send that out and wish the very best for them. Good to see how various groups went over and tried to offer certain things, and many didn't want to get in the way, but it seems as if raising funds is probably one of the better ways of being able to assist them. I understand that FEMA has gotten involved. I saw where the other day President Biden and his wife went there, and, you know, that's what we need. Right now, we don't need strife or bickering or frustration, but the people there, our neighbors, can use our prayers and our support. And if you can't or unwilling to give that, I would just encourage you to stand at the way and let those who can and will do so. All right? But, again, we pray for them. There are two other things, current events, that I'd like to address. One is the overflow of illegal immigrants or migrants that are coming across the border and that are being shipped or have been shipped from Texas, Arizona area, parts of California, and particularly Texas and Arizona. They've been shipped up north to Chicago, Illinois, and New York. And it is obviously straining them. They're having issues. They want to, now the federal government, President Biden and the federal government, to provide resources, more resources. What's ironic about that is that both of these cities, their leadership, in times past, have identified themselves as being sanctuary cities. Now, what does that mean? That means they will welcome and provide sanctuary, covering, care to anybody who comes there, irregardless to how they come, if they come illegally or not, and certain laws that they would ignore, certain federal and perhaps state laws that they would ignore to protect those individuals' interests. The law-abiding, tax-paying citizens of cities like Chicago and New York, and now several areas in New York, are being strained by the concept of the sanctuary notion or idea, utopian idea, because somebody's got to pay for it. All of us, and many of us grew up in with the challenges of poverty and economic despair, but you struggle to overcome that, and guess what? Someone has to pay for your, to fund your quality of life. Now, does that mean you want to be ugly and nasty? No. And you all know that for years there's been contention in Washington, D.C., about immigration and what is the proper way to settle the issue with immigration. That still hasn't been settled. It's yet unsettled. Truth of the matter is, though, we do have an immigration law. We do have a process. And by taking politics out of it, we can honestly look at it. Now, there are people who seek to come here on work visas, educational visas, and other circumstances to be integrated in the U.S. And many of them, there's a backlog of them, as I understand. Many of them have been waiting in line for a long time, and they've been hoping that they'd be able to be recognized and that, you know, they have an opportunity to pursue and live the American dream. All in good. All in good. So for someone to jump the line is problematic. But moreover now, what we're seeing is how when there is an excuse for not holding them accountable to those who got in line and going through the rightful process, it has strained and is straining, again, citizens of America, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens of America, again, particularly in Chicago and New York. I saw where in New York, the mayor now is frustrated and he says, we just can't handle it anymore. So they moved to take over certain sports fields that were for children and families and putting these makeshift communities or tents there. The residents are not happy about it. We can talk about it. Let's give me a call, 563-999-3617. What do you think? Do you think that's fair to the residents there? Or should the residents say, well, you know what, we are a sanctuary city. Let's just give them whatever they ask for, what they need. Inequitable to me. But it's a current event in the United States. City I was born and raised, Chicago, same thing is happening. The mayor attempted to bring them and put them in certain schools, and the residents rose up. No, 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 we're struggling out here. We're struggling out here. And not that we hate anybody, we just love ourselves to know that we need to take care of home first. There have been many homeless people all across America, in California and other places, Chicago, you know, and other places, Atlanta, Georgia. And I mean, what are we going to do about those folks? Do they not deserve to be considered first? Have we decided that we're just going to wash our hands of them? But here comes this newcomer. Now, it seems to me, and I like to have a dialogue with you, that the fairest thing to do, the most humane thing to do, is to assist those who have come here breaking the line, if you will, assist them with getting back home. Right? And if there's a way we can assist them with coming through the proper channels, and we can do something. There are certain clauses or certain stipulations that allow them to say certain buzzwords and that allow them to get in quicker. Oh, I'm running from persecution, seeking asylum. Come on now, we're not stupid. We're not dumb. We know better than that. I'm just saying. And again, what we're seeing now is the impact and the effect of that on, again, law-abiding citizens. I read recently where they arrested a guy, has been arrested 10 times and deported already a number of times. He had an opportunity to rape somebody, though. I mean, I'm just saying, that's what we're talking about. It's open mic night. It's August 22nd, 2023. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're just having open mic, which means you call me. Give me a call. Call me right now. If you follow me on Facebook, give me a call. The number to call in the studio, it's 563-999-3617. Again, that number is 563. I put that in the caption in the Facebook group, 563-999-3617. And, you know, guess what I realized? I realized people are busy. So when I'm on the air here and I'm talking, not everybody have time to keep up with me. I get that. But we try to make sure that we have some useful information that even if you don't catch us tonight, you can come back some other day when you have a chance and you can listen to us. So we want to make sure we talk in sense that you take the time to listen to us. But I'd love to engage you tonight, so give me a call. Some of you are not working right now, and perhaps you're listening in the background. I'd love to get your feedback, 563-999-3617. Just speaking earlier about the crisis with the migrants and those who are coming over, breaking the line, if you will, in terms of the migration. You know, there's a legal way to do it, a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And I can tell you that when anybody, it doesn't matter who it is, when you do wrong, what makes your actions wrong is that it causes problems and backlash for others. Perfectly fine if it benefits you, and perhaps even if your intention is to benefit others. But when you cause problems for not only yourself, but that extend to others, that's essentially what makes it wrong. I don't want to oversimplify it, but there you go. There you go. So we're talking about the overflow of migrants in New York and in Chicago. My sister, when I was growing up in Chicago, she was a member of the Guardian Angel, Curtis Sliva, I believe it's pronounced, out of New York. He was going around the country to major cities, building up membership in the Guardian Angels. And they had a chapter there in Chicago, and their goal was to address crime. They were going to be like the supermen and women of the community to address crime. Good luck on it. It didn't quite quell all the crime in Chicago, but I guess you can at least appreciate their aim, their intention, right? But I said that to say that the other day, Leva has a new fight today, and he was arrested at least twice already, I understand, for protesting against the placing of these immigrants in these tent cities in these areas of New York. And the interesting thing about it is that the council there, the city, passed legislation that says there's no bail required to get out of jail. So they lock him up. He walked, he doing the perp walk, getting attention, and they book him. And guess what? Dude right back out again. What's the point of all that? Really? Come on, man. I mean, because there's no bail, right? And there are a couple of cities who have pushed for no bail. You tell me, Portland, Oregon now has really gotten terrible in terms of this crime. In Minnesota, Minneapolis is another area that is challenged with those type of things. I mean, I'm all for justice being extended to everybody, as we said at the beginning of the show, and for there being fair and equitable distribution of the law. But let's put it to me. Let me make it personal to myself. And I think I'm a decent and upstanding citizen, person. But if I were to do something that breached the public safety or infringed on the rights and privileges of my neighbors or neighbor, there should be something in place to stop me from doing that. I place my own interests above the quality of someone's life to the point that I took their life, certainly unjustly. There should be a process. Hence, the criminal justice system is designed to provide at least the benefit of doubt to those who are accused of committing a crime in the United States of America. That's why they call it the criminal justice system. If you're accused of a crime, there's a thing called due process that you afford it, and you're considered innocent until proven guilty. We talked about a couple of, last week, the 13th Amendment, and how it had a particular setup or clause or structure that you're not the determination that you're innocent before proven guilty. So, in reference to that, again, there's a legal way, there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. When I taught high school at the beginning of the year, I let my students know when they came in, hey, I have a responsibility to look out for all of your interests, your safety. Make sure you learn. And to do that, I'm going to establish the rules for my classroom. You have no other place. That is that I am the law and I am the basis of order. It's where there is no law, for sure there could be no order. Now, for those who say, well, now, isn't that right? You shouldn't have to live by any prescribed rules by somebody else. Okay, well, you should be involved in the process of making the rules then. That's how you ensure that they're fair. The legislative process should be reflective of you. How do you do that? How do you do that? We're about to come up on another election cycle here soon. How do you ensure that those people that are voted in and elected to office are reflecting your will? Well, you first you need to be informed. Did y'all know that 80-some percent of the American electorate is, with due respect, ill-informed to the electoral process, to the legislative process? Y'all know that? 85-some percent or greater. They're just tuned out. Most people are just busy working, and they assume that those in office are going to do right. But we're seeing the strain of things now where folk are becoming frustrated and disenchanted, and they tend to turn on one another because of affiliation with a party. But both of you are mad, and the reality is you're mad for the same reason. You're frustrated for the same reason, and that is, irregardless of the label of the party, the people that are in office are not representing you well. Congress as a whole is dysfunctional. Huh? You don't like what's going on in the White House as a whole, that's something you can do something about. But I would argue that your greatest control is on the local level, in your county or municipality. On your state level, you have a little bit more leverage. So you need to be organized in that regard. In your voting precincts, you need to be aware and hold folks accountable. Without getting too much in that, I'm just speaking in general about the process, the fair process of maintaining law and order and structure for the good of all in humanity and society. And you can ensure everybody gets a fair shot then. Okay? What I'd like to do on the other side of this break here is, we're going to take a brief break. On the other side of it, I'd like to compare. There's a song that have gone viral by a fellow by the name Oliver Anthony. I like to compare his, and what he's doing in this song. Well, let's just do this. Let's come back. 999-3617. On the other side of this brief break, what I want to do is to talk to you about the comparison of struggle. Some might classify it as labeled as the white struggle, the black struggle. I would argue they all have something in common. On the other side of this break, we'll talk about it. Be right back.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities in urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498- 4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
All right, you're listening to Talk Straight with your host, Brother Dockery, and I just joined
Hey, now what do you say, Pastor Doctor?
Okay, good. I was getting some feedback. Do you mind, are you a little closer to your phone? Can you talk in a little bit? So
I can feel a little bit better. I think it's the best that they can do right now. I'm not where I
okay.
can. I was calling. I was up there by the hospital, so it may be a little something to do with it, you know.
I can hear you okay now. What we discovered is why the Facebook Live group is having a hard time hearing everybody clearly. And I think, but you're good. It's open mic night, Brother Pastor. And again, as you know, the conversation, listen, I've just been reviewing some current since we began the show at 7 o'clock. And, how you doing? How's everything going out there? When you finish, I'll give you an opportunity to chime in. But I'm going to compare two songs in a minute. Song, a viral song by a fellow by the name Oliver Anthony, and another song by Rick Ross, a rapper known as Rick Ross. And I want to try to see how, is there some similarity in the struggle there for these two. But let me yield the floor to you just for a second, very quickly.
Oh, no, I was just actually tapping in before I go in the hospital to see some people. You know, I said, well, let me call in for a minute. And you say you're going to play a song and trying to see how the song was going to relate one to another.
I actually have two songs to compare to one another and just see what it does. But I understand if you have to leave, feel free to go to. I know how that is. I was just there the other day. So I appreciate that weather where you are. Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, if you will, just stand by for a second. So listen, on 563, give us a holler here. I'm going to play Oliver Anthony, I'm sorry. And then we're going to listen to Rick Ross. All right, here we go.
Telling my soul, working all day, overtime hours, bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to. People like me, people like you, try to just wake up and it not be true. But it is all it is, living in the little world. Whipping home, so Richmond, North of Richmond, Lord knows they all just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Your dollar hates shit, and it's taxed to no end. Milk and welfare. God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes all not to pay, bags of butt drowned, young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, is all this damn country does, is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to. People like me, people like you, if I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is living in the world with an old soul. These rich men know the rich men, Lord knows they all just wanna have total control.
Now, what you're talking about, Richmond, north of Richmond, is Washington, D.C. That affect our lives. Now, as you hear it, he's talking about this struggle. Young men killing drugs and so forth and so on, and guns, and people struggling financially, trying to make it day by day. Young men. Now, Rick Ross song is also. It's a little older than he is. This guy is going viral. This young man's name is Oliver. His name is viral because people can relate to this. And they tried to knock it down, but guess what? They listened to it, and it went number one on the charts with in the music thing. Folk is just excited. And it was interesting enough, I saw where even African-Americans can relate to what he's saying. He's a country boy from Virginia. My brothers and sisters in Chicago, New York, California can relate to what he's saying. Now listen to Rick Ross. Listen to his angle on the struggle. And I want to see if we can talk a little bit about how these two parlay one another. Here we go. Let's catch Rick. Fast, you still with me so far?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, all right. Give me a, I hope you heard what the other brother said. Here's Rick Ross.
The real man.
Straight to St. Louis. What do you think about that? The two the dichotomy of this struggle in America from different perspectives. That's why.
I actually think, you know, if they both singing about struggle, I think that's what you're saying. If, you know, what are the motives? You know, what they're singing about, is it just a song that they just putting together, and is this not true? It's just a song that one could think it is true or sound like that's what's going on. I really didn't get that. It sounded like a lot of just putting together some songs where, you know, they want to put something out there where people want to hear. Is it to make sure that they know that they have to survive one way or the other? You know, I don't know if you can combine it together with what they were saying. You know, somebody a certain length of tall and a certain size, and, you know, I don't know if that has to do with why they can handle going at it, or do they wait on somebody to give it to them? I don't know what it really meant. Other than they just put a song out, and you say one went viral.
If I might kind of explain the background there. This guy was not a professional musician. He was not in a studio. He was not someone that made records or albums and what have you. But one day he picked up what looked like a banjo / guitar, talking about how he feels. Factory worker in Virginia who is struggling to combat his life or to have a quality of life with a lot that's coming down with policies in terms of the inflation. He was thinking about inflation. He was thinking about policies like certain things in certain states where people were forced to wear masks. And some people got fired if they didn't follow certain edicts and so forth from government and things of that nature, talking about Congress and its dysfunctionality and how right now you buy a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk, a carton of eggs, you go broke. Then you got to try to fill your car up and your chest firm enough. Versus Rick Ross is about selling dope and hustling and making his money. But that's illegal, though. That's really where the two cross one another. So let me give it back to you. So then we'll go to St. Louis.
Yeah. You can go ahead to it.
Well, discussion there, St. Louis. I hope you. I don't know how much you heard, but we played a song by again a young out of Virginia who took his instrument, and did it matter? He is a Caucasian with red hair, big old bushy red beard. And he was just talking about the struggles that not only white people, but black folk are facing here in the U.S. in the last 3 to 4 years. Any comment on that?
Ain't nobody paying no attention to that.
Ain't nobody paying attention to it.
And the ones that are, I don't know what to say about them. They've got their lives together.
I see. So are you suggesting that the struggle he speaks of is not real? That they're not
I don't know.
Attack?
I'm just wanting to stay away from my kids with that message.
I see. Okay. And, of course, what do you think about Rick Ross? He's hustling. Every day he's hustling.
Same thing. Your kids, your son's thinking about that?
I doubt it very seriously, but I'm not really.
Well, I know mine. No, mine's not.
Okay.
Mine's at work.
I got you. But of course, you know, largely, Talk Straight is a very frank podcast that speaks to everybody beyond just my children or yours or anyone that listens. And for those people who need what we're talking about, it's a healthy dialogue and conversation about how we can address that. Because I think to your point that if you occupy your life, occupy your 24 hours of the day, you can basically control the dynamics of your quality of life for yourself. But there are a lot of people who don't know that, St. Louis. And so they
The information is out there. If they don't seek to pay heed, if their parents and family don't, I don't know what to do. What's your son doing? No, last time I
Well, you know, I don't like your son, but since you asked me, he's a mechanical engineer, and on a daily basis, that's what he does. He started his own business. He provides tutoring and support to young folks in general Cleveland area, Cleveland, Ohio. I mean, but he's that's not who, certainly he don't have that problem. I think that's the point that you're making, and that's a point well taken. But let's take him out of the picture. Let's talk about those who do have it for a second. Go ahead.
Well, let me tell you, my grandson graduated from LSU, double major.
Okay.
He interned with ExxonMobil.
Oh, good.
And
good.
For about three years, even while he was still in school.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's working for a liquefied petroleum gas company. He's making about $6,000 to $8,000 a week.
Well, that's pretty good. Pretty good for your son. Okay. All right. And so this would apply to your grandson. I think that's your point.
Sure,
right?
The opportunity, we was talking about this early on. Opportunities out there. The opportunities are there. And then people vote for these politics, especially these Democrats, and you see what they you say inflation. Well, if Congress continues to spend, print money, borrow money, of course, the equation says inflation is going to go up.
Gotcha.
So those
gotcha.
Who want to have, they direct their kids into these endless walls in basketball and football, where you get, rather than academics and that, than the things that's out there, I don't know what to tell them.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I've said it, many have heard me say it here in my local area, that when it comes to Democrats and Republicans, one robbed the bank and the other one drove the getaway car. In some kind of way, both of them are responsible for the policies on the national and state level that affect you. You have to be organized as a people to make sure that you are better controlling those who represent you in government. But that being said,
and they not like that, so that's what they get. I'm not worried about them. Your head will fall off your shoulders. You got those young people that are doing great things. You start off with your family, and same thing we were talking about. It worked. Tried, proved, and tested. I ain't worried about them.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go back to Pastor Wallace for a second. Do you know anybody, Pastor, that falls under that umbrella of struggle? Intimated by the gentleman from Virginia or Rick Ross off the West Coast?
Yeah, it's a lot of intelligent people, man, that falls for that. They went on to college. They got a good job. They got some like that can't wait to get around it, but they don't want everybody to know it. But they're going to ease and get around it because it's popular. And the thing about it is this. There's some brothers that I've been lining with for a long time, man. They say, you can go to school, you can graduate, and go on to college, get you a good job. When you go on to college, they say, but you can't graduate yet until you get some of that real street knowledge.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
You got that other knowledge. There's nothing wrong with it. But you ain't graduating yet until you get some of that real street knowledge. He didn't say get some of that street knowledge, some of that real street knowledge. And what that means is that I've seen them come around. I've experienced very highly intelligent people. Got those credentials. But can't wait to get around those who are less fortunate than they are concerning that, because college is not for everybody. School, is not for everybody. And there are some people who have not went to school and have done successfully real well financially.
Okay. Now that's true.
Making a whole lot of money. So if you weigh the money up and you say, okay, I'm going to stay who got this money? Your money's no good, but this person here got the money and it's some good. Well, the people who you spend the money with ain't going to care about where that money came from. Bring that money on up in here. That's the way it goes. And it's understandable, because if it wasn't like that, then the ones who really is doing all the damage, they're the one who would be incarcerated.
Okay.
In other words, they got a lot of people that's playing above the law.
Yeah.
You know, that can be what I want to do. That's the mentality. Whether they be intelligent or not, it still is going on. And that's why it's so popular. That's why some of the people that they are around can't wait to get around people that's very humble. You know, that's in the struggle, that can't hardly make it from day to day. And they just want to get around them to let them know, I understand. We come from a family who have this, have that. They got all this going on. They're highly intelligent. But I've seen some of them so crooked, you know, to where they get caught up later on and start confessing. They go to the colleges and give them a couple of dollars, and they pass their kids. Well, what kind of stuff is that? You know, and they're highly intelligent. But they don't want to do the work. You know why they don't want to do work? Because they realize that it's not all about that. It's about who you are and what you choose to do, whether it's right or wrong, good or bad. The parents sometimes are the one paying for their wrongdoing.
Okay.
Intentionally.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? And so, and you're talking about smart people, intelligent.
Right.
So that lets you know right there, man, you know, those songs fit some of the people on both ends. It's just about who they can relate to. And, you know, sad to say, some of them songs just seem like they just made up something. And some may be living it like that. I don't know. You know, it's just the way it is. It's just it's something about it. You say one guy just picked up an instrument, right?
Yeah.
And he said he wasn't intended to do nothing.
No.
And all of a sudden, what he did went viral.
Yeah. And watch this, though. What's interesting is it's a certain populace. And I'm focusing on young people right now, post George Floyd and post Breonna Taylor, post 2020 riots and so forth, and protests, as they call them, some would call it. They are still in limbo about where we are. But guess what's hitting everybody? That gas price for many people, you know, and what it costs to go into a grocery store and what you know, to feed your family. When those are concerns, paying your light bill. You understand, paying your rent or your mortgage, that reality is still book upside the head. And I think that's where, interestingly enough, people are coming in the middle. Some people thought it was just white people that identified with this viral song. But no, they were shocked to find out that there are black folks who were saying, politicians and the government, they're making it, but I'm struggling. And they're supposed to represent my interests. Now, that's a legitimate conversation. Not everybody is stressed by that, but there are a great many who are. And that's really what we're talking about. You know, that's why I shared it as a current event that we're faced with. Any further conversation? Now, it's still open, Mike. We've got another 10 minutes here. If y'all have something else you want to address before we leave, I'm happy to do that as well.
I see where Chicago White Sox owner is considering moving the team out of Chicago.
Yeah, man.
The Negroes got things so messed up in that city with their shootings and killings and robbings and all that crap. They're running off business, creating the deserts that they complain about.
Big time.
Nobody talks about that.
Interestingly enough, I understand he mentioned possibly bringing it to Nashville, the team, the White Sox. I don't know how that's going to work because we got a minor league team already here, and they may not want to share that with them, you know. But,
Well, don't take it to Memphis.
Don't take it to Memphis, huh?
And, you know, that's something else. You got the black prosecutors, like the state of Illinois. You got a black attorney governor. You got a black secretary of state, a black attorney general. I mean, head of the law. You have a black mayor, several black mayors. You got a black county prosecutor, Kim Fox. The police superintendent are black. Police officers are black. And you're still complaining.
You know, Go ahead.
No, you just, black folks can't run no government. Only a few. With all
that's
this socialism
fair.
And all this woke stuff. And if they can, show me where. Look at Baltimore. You got 17 high schools. 17 high schools where none of the black kids are reading efficiently or doing math efficiently. You got some crazy mess out in Oregon. They say that math is racist. Down in Los Angeles someplace, they say that being on time is racist. These people are crazy. Who in the heck want to be around that?
Okay.
Well,
you know,
I'm talking about
you
that.
Know what?
You can't read. You can't
you know
read.
What I found out? Pastor Doctor,
what's
you
that,
know
Pastor?
What I found out, man?
What's
I found
what's
out
that?
Some
what's
things.
That?
And, you know, and then about what's on the surface. But what a lot of people don't want to acknowledge, they want to pretend like it doesn't happen. But how does that stuff get out there to cause people to become that way? How do they make it themselves? Do they put this stuff together and make it themselves and get themselves in trouble? When if there's none of it around, can they put drugs in their system if it's not around? That would
okay.
be a question.
I got
that
an
I'm
answer
asking.
For that. I'm asking.
I say if there was no, I'm coming to intelligent conversation just for
yeah.
about 30 seconds. For about 30 seconds.
Okay.
If
okay.
they're not. If the blacks are not bringing the stuff in here, can they put drugs in their system? Question asked. Answer the question. Can they?
Okay. All right, thank
you. Yeah, what was that guy's name?
No. I'm asking a question.
Denzel
yes
Washington?
No, I'm not
yes,
talking about Denzel Washington.
Yes, they can, and they did. I'm going to give you, yes. Y-E-S. Y-E-S. They made a movie
okay.
about it.
Yes.
They made
now,
a movie about it. Denzel Washington
yes.
played the part.
No. Listen. Are you even listening to what I'm saying? I said, did the blacks put it together? Did they make the stuff? That's what I'm asking. Did they make the stuff?
Yes.
Whatever
yes.
it is that's causing them to become addicted. They did?
They sure
did.
Did
you say yes? You say yes, right? Now
I'm
you said
yes. Y-E-S.
Okay. Now, how do you know? How do you know?
They made movies about it.
No, not no movie. I'm talking about how do you know?
They made movies
about
it. It's true. You can read stories on it. You can read court cases where they was caught, locked up and convicted. Yes.
Matter of fact,
in St. Louis, they busted a house where they turned their garage into making meth. These were blacks in North St. Louis.
You're saying that the blacks made it. So where did they get it from? They made it. They put it together.
What do you mean where did they get it from? You buy chemicals from the drugstore. You buy
okay,
from the
so
drugstore.
So they got something.
And they make
together,
their own connections.
Saying.
They make their own connections down in Peru.
So you just told the story right there. You just said it right there. They had to purchase it from somewhere to get that put together. That was,
you that's
just said
where
that,
it's
correct?
Grown at.
But you,
that's
I,
where
I,
it's grown
just,
at.
I'm listening to what you said. I heard what you
things
said.
Things don't
like
grow everywhere. It's a world economy.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to make sure you heard yourself say that they got it from somewhere else. They didn't make it themselves. They didn't put it together. Somebody else did.
No, they
that's
put it
saying.
Together. They got the ingredients.
Oh.
Just like it is. So when they build a house, where do they get the material from?
Going back to what I just said, I say, did they put it together or did they purchase it from somewhere?
Yeah, but when they build a house, where do you get the material from? When you buy a gun, where do you get the bullets on the Christmas tree?
Going back to what you just said, where do you get it from? That's what you're saying. Where do you get it from?
And
because
I tell you another problem too, Ruben, is all these crazy excuses. I'm wondering nobody went back and talked about 400 damn years.
Well,
see, you got some
see, people
just
don't
just
want
don't like,
to admit.
You got some people that just don't like black people. You understand what I'm saying? You just got black people.
No,
don't like
right.
People.
There's some people.
That's what they
you're
do.
You're right there. No.
And
I just named
you.
I named a couple of black. I named a couple of black people that I do admire.
You
well, you know what it is that you just don't want to admit the truth.
I'm just telling
you. You probably come from
right?
that same paradigm.
You show,
no, you don't.
You
don't
want to
admit the truth. You come up with all kind of excuses.
You keep saying something about the black
excuses.
Okay. But you don't want to admit. You don't want to admit. That's what you're doing. So you want to have your way and say you know what you're talking about. And
no,
I'm going to say this right here.
I tell it like I see it.
You
I tell it like I see it. You come up with all these excuses. Is nobody
no excuses,
who's
right?
keeping those who's keeping those kids in the Baltimore school district from learning how to read? Ain't no white folks knowing that.
You talking about excuses? Ain't you talking about excuses? That's what you talking about. You talking about excuses and all that. Ain't no excuses. You the one keep saying something about the blacks and the whites. You keep saying something about the whites and this and the blacks.
I ain't said
about
nothing
that.
About no white folks.
What?
Okay.
You did?
I ain't blame nothing on them.
I know you didn't.
Okay.
That's what I said. I know you right. didn't. I
right.
know you didn't,
right.
but I'm listening to you.
You know, here's the point. There's one thing that we can admit. If it wasn't happening, you couldn't talk about it.
Well, that's true. Now, that's a fact. Something is going on, and somebody's causing it to go on. That's a fact. That's a fact. Now, gentlemen, I would argue that the most important thing is to offer some sort of solution. Now, in order to do that, you got to care. You got to be interested in providing the solution, even if it's not one there. Now, we've been talking for, both of you gentlemen have been with me for at least 4 or 5 years. I know Pastor Waller longer. And I would argue that the solution is there. It's up to people, though, to act on it, though. See? And that there is hope when you translate conversation into proactive measures. See, I agree. I think what we all can agree on is that these ills, these challenges, do not have to be a reality, right? But the question is, how do we turn that around? How do we make it such that
you mimic successful people? And leave the others alone. Leave them alone. They will take care of themselves.
That,
hold on,
you heard that? That's not the way. Jesus don't get down like that. Jesus don't get down like that. Jesus don't get down like that. He don't get down like that. No, he don't get down like that.
Leave alone.
No. Jesus
wait,
don't
wait,
get down like that. He says have compassion on
them. Leave them alone. If somebody else want to pick up
them.
That, if somebody else want to pick up that bucket, go ahead.
Do you
well,
know
don't support
is? What,
those who
Jesus
work. Don't support those who work against your interests.
Jesus
it don't
said,
make
have
any
compassion,
sense,
brother. So that won't fly, oh. man. You can freeze that. Have compassion,
yeah.
brother.
That's I don't
you
believe
you
in Jesus.
Compassion. Yeah, I know
okay.
you don't.
Well,
that's what
people
I'm
don't
Jesus be, did.
People don't believe in Jesus.
Guess what?
Yeah, that's
Jews
I'm
don't believe
Jesus
in Jesus.
Got compassion. I understand, brother.
Jews,
I'm just saying, he still got
Jews
compassion,
don't believe in Jesus.
So
that's your own personal. That's your own personal belief. You can say it 15 times.
I'm not telling you to believe in him. I just say he has compassion. So you're talking about leaving somebody alone. But you can leave him alone, but that don't mean everybody else has to leave him alone. That's all I'm saying.
Reuben asked a solution. No, wait a minute. Reuben, did you not ask a solution?
I said that we should be looking for solutions, yes. I would like to see.
Okay.
I would like to see.
Now, I gave you, you asked for a solution, and I gave my recommended for a solution. My
okay.
recommendation is be responsible and leave these others alone. They would drag you down in the abyss, as they have done.
All right. Thank you, Stavros. I would only the way we part and differ is that not leaving anyone alone. I heard you say mimic successful people. That's good. But I'm not of the position to leave everybody else alone that don't follow that example. I would rather spend time encouraging them to understand the importance of that. You understand what
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you an honest question. If your son needs $1,600 a month to go to school and you only got $2,000, so you going to cut short what your son need to give to somebody else who parents and family don't take care of them? I'm not going to do that.
understand that. In that hypothetical situation, we prioritize St. Louis, what's important. But son had a need. He rests assured that I would move heaven and earth, he or my daughter or my wife. Personally, I'll move heaven and earth to get them what they need. Unfortunately, everybody may not know how to do that or not be best positioned. And I'd like to show them how they can. You understand what I'm saying? So
they ain't going to listen.
You know that.
Because I've talked to some. All right, you asked me how I know? Because I've sat at a table with some. And I told them what I told them the way to go about doing in order to get your child with it. You know what they told me? Oh, I don't have my child doing all that stuff. These are black women.
Okay, well,
I ain't gonna have my child doing all that stuff. So see, here's the thing. Now either one of y'all want to waste your time, or however you want to, go ahead. But I ain't gonna do it, and a whole lot of others is not gonna do it. And I don't blame them.
I got you. Okay. Well, listen, it's about that time. I appreciate you guys. Go ahead. Rob, your final thought there, Sandro. Go ahead. Give us your final thought there.
I was going to say, last time I talked to you, about a year or so ago, you were talking about running for politics. You're going to open a school and all that stuff. Well, I said, well, I'll see.
You are what?
I'll see.
You said?
I said I'll come back and see how things have progressed in that direction. And we're still complaining about these idiots out here. These idiots that's running in these stores, taking things, robbing these blacks. You got some whites. Well, most of us black, and blacks shouldn't be doing it anyway. They the one talking about that we need to have our own stores. Well, if you had your own stores and you had idiots coming in, taking things and running out with it, how long do you think that would last?
Well, let me invite you to join me again on another open mic session, and then that's a worthwhile discussion.
All right.
It sounds like you're looking to know an update on the school and an update on our effort to represent in local government, and I'm happy to share that with you. But we're out of time tonight, though. But look,
all right, we'll vote for Joe Brown. I'll talk to you later.
All right, sir. All right, we're going to turn to Pastor Waller to wrap us up for the night. We're grateful. I know he is out there as he normally is, serving in ministry, and we appreciate him stopping to join us here on Talk Straight tonight. Pastor, give us a final thought there, sir, and something that we can hold on.
Yes, sir, brother. Just keep that faith, brother. Watch out. Watch how you hear, man, because the Word of God says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And what I love most about that, though, he said life and death is in the power of the tongue. See, a person can speak death so strong with me, will try to convince you that that's what you're supposed to speak. And when it's all about speaking life, you know, and bringing folks around and being encouraging to other people, because he said exalt others more highly than yourself. And once you do something like that, man, you can see the benefit of knowing I could have kept it to myself, but you know, Jeremiah said some things like this, Pastor. He said it was like fire shut up in my bone. I just couldn't keep it to myself, man. So if you're going to stand up for them, stand up for the people, man. Don't let nobody just strip the people from the opportunity to hear something that can help them. So I say this by way of for those that's listening and tuned in. Be encouraged. Maybe someone listening right now, just love for somebody to have compassion on you. Well, there are some men on the broadcast that have compassion. Yeah. And we just wanted to encourage you to let you know to stay tuned in, because something may be revealed that you didn't get this time, maybe the next time. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Bobby.
And that's why we do what we do with it, brother preacher. We keep the airways open. Because there's somebody out there hungry for an answer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother.
Lord be our help. We'll be able to offer somebody hungry a bread of knowledge. Bread of knowledge.
That's right.
Well, that's a good way to end this thing, man. We walked away from here with a good note.
Yes,
good
sir.
Good note. I think I know a lot of people.
Brother.
An on-time God.
Huh?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is, bro.
May not come when you want, but he's always on
but
time.
He's all...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You've been listening to Top Straight. This is your host,
Reverend
Dr. Ruben. Our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller. We'll be back next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Look forward to engage you further then.